الحمد لله الذي تفرد بكل كمال وتفضل على عباده بجزيل النوال، بيده الخير ومنه الخير، فله الحمد على كل حال وفي كل حال، في الحال وفي المآل. أحمده سبحانه على ما منح من العطاء، وأشكره على واسع العطاء، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، تقدس في الذات والصفات والأسماء، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله، سيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الأوفياء وأصحابه النجباء ومن تبعهم بإحسان ما دامت الأرض والسماء. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله، وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: ولا تجعل يدك مغلولة إلى عنقك، ولا تبسطها كل البسط فتقعد ملوما محصورا. Respected ulama kiram, respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam such that Allah has created it the best and the most special of all ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us such a path which is a path of moderation. Neither do we exceed the bounds, nor do we fall short in our duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the third part of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this ummah very beautifully. Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And like that, Allah has made you a nation which is moderate, a nation which does not trespass the bounds, nor does it fall short in its duties. In terms of the aqeedah of this ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in terms of the aqeedah of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spells it out very clearly in Quran, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِهِ. That we do not differentiate in terms of the status of any of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is upon the initial level, upon the base level, in terms of the aqeedah of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mufassirun explain under this verse that what makes this ummah different from the other ummahs that have passed. In terms of the Jews, they have fallen short in fulfilling the right of the messengers. In other words, they have denied Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have denied Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And in some stages, they have raised the other anbiya beyond where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed them. In terms of the Christians, we know very, very famously that they have associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, they have associated a son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. In terms of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the final and the most unique ummah which has ever existed, the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah spells out our aqeedah that we love every single messenger, we obey every single messenger, and if any person speaks against any messenger, then this is tantamount to disbelief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained that لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. We do not differentiate in status between the messengers. In other words, we believe in all of them, we love all of them, but we do not raise them higher than what they deserve in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's in terms of our aqidah and our belief. In terms of our ibadah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many ahadith has explained how must this Muslim and how must you as a believer of and in the as a believer, as a person of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how must you carry out your ibadah? On one occasion, three sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they go to the homes of the azwaj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the intention was very pure. They had a very good intention. They wanted to learn regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what will he do at home? What was his action at home? What were his ibadah behind closed doors? So Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates this hadith and it appears in Sahih al-Bukhari and other kitabs. He says, جَاءَ ثَلَاثَةُ رَحْتٍ إِلَى بُيُوتِ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three people came to the homes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was their objective? What was their purpose? يَسْأَلُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَةِ النَّبِي. They wanted to find out what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do behind closed doors. In other words, what was his action? How did he interact with his wives and his family? Further, فَلَمَّا أُخْبِرُوكَ أَنَّهُمْ تَقَالُّوهَا. When finally they were informed regarding what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing, then it fell somewhat short of the expectations. They thought it would be a bit more than this. So they got to talking and they discussed, أَيْنَ نَحْنُ مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَقَدْ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ. Our status is much less than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's ma'asum. Allah has forgiven all his sins. We need to do much more. So they continue discussing. فَقَالَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَمَّا أَنَا فَأَقُومُ اللَّيْلَ أَبَدًا. As for me, I will continue reciting tahajjud salah for the rest of my life throughout the night. Throughout the night, I will not take a break. I will continue with tahajjud salah. وَقَالَ آخَرَ. Another said, أَنَا أَسُومُ الدَّهْرَ كُلَّهُ. I will continue from this day fasting for the rest of my life. I will not take a break in between. The third sahabi said, أما أنا فأنا أعتزل النساء فلا أتزوج أبدا. I will never get married. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this discussion. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this conversation. He called his sahaba and he addressed him. This was a mawqa, this was a situation where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to make islah of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him and he says, listen, أنا أتقاكم لله وأخشاكم له. First and foremost, I am your example. I am the one who has the most fear in his heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have dedicated my entire life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amma ana fa'akumu wa arkud. Some portion of the night I perform tahajjud salah and some portion of the night I sleep. Wa asumu wa uftir. Some days I keep my fast and some days I do not. Wa ana atazawwaju an-nisa. And I marry women. In other words, I've got married on many occasions. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the solution to all our problems. And this verse, this part of the hadith which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, we have all heard it in the khutbah of the nikah. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever seeks any path besides this, then he's not from this deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they also understood this. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he created a bond of brotherhood between Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu and Abu Darda. Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu was considered from amongst the elite sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of us, you ask a small child, what do you desire, what do you want? He'd say, I want Jannah, I want to reach Jannah, my end goal must be Jannah. In a narration of Mu'jam al-Tabrani al-Kabir, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has reported to have said that إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَشْتَاقُ لِأَرْبَعِ. There are four people from this ummah where they do not desire Jannah, but Jannah desires them. Jannah desires them. Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, وَأَبِي ذَرٍ and Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, وَالْمِقْدَادِ and Miqdad bin al-Aswad. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَسَلْمَانَ al-Farisi. Salman al-Farisi. This is the sahabi we are discussing. Salman al-Farisi, Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah, he narrates that all the ulama are in agreement that Salman al-Farisi lived for more than 250 years. Salman al-Farisi, according to all the ulama, he lived for more than 250 years. Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah then further says, according to my research, I believe, yes, that he has lived for more than 250 years, but he had not passed 280. In other words, anywhere between 250 and 280 years. Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, he left his home a very, very long time ago in search of the truth. And on his path, on his way, he met many pious people and he learned many lessons until finally he entered and he landed up in Madinah Munawwara. And finally he accepted Islam. So Salman al-Farisi, who was also called Salman al-Khayr, the one who is full of goodness, a man full of goodness, an excellent individual. On one occasion he visits his friend and his brother, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Abu Darda, whose name was Uwaymir, he was called Hakim al-Ummah. He was the man from this Ummah who had great wisdom. So Salman al-Farisi visited the home of Hakim al-Ummah, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala an. And Salman was very elderly in age, so he found his wife there, and he says, مَالِ أَرَاكَ مُتَبَذِّلَةً. What is the matter? I see you are in a very simple manner. You are not looking after yourself, so to say. So his wife, Ummu Darda, replied, he says, إِنَّ أَخَاكَ أَبَا الدَّرْدَى لَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا. your brother Abu Darda, he has no need for dunya. In other words, he has dedicated himself completely for Islam, completely for ibadah. Further, so Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he comes home and he prepares some food for Salman al-Farisi. They sit down and Salman al-Farisi begins to eat. This narration is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, it's an authentic narration. Salman al-Farisi begins to eat and he notices that Abu Darda is not eating. So he asks him, what's the matter? Why are you not eating? He says, I'm fasting today. Salman al-Farisi says, no, you will break your fast. You will break your fast. In other words, there is a guest in your home. Now is the time for you to entertain the guest and you will also join in the meal. So that is the first stage. Then they continue and the night time falls, everybody goes to sleep. Salman al-Farisi, while he's sleeping, he notices that Abu Darda wakes up. He's about to go and perform tahajjud salah. Salman says to him, listen, go back to sleep. It was still early in the night, listen, go back to sleep. Again Abu Darda wakes up. Salman addresses him, listen, go back to sleep. Abu Darda listens. At the last third of the night, then Salman radiallahu anhu wakes up, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu wakes up, and they both perform tahajjud salah. Anyway, Abu Darda finally addresses Salman al-Farisi. Salman al-Farisi finally addresses Abu Darda, and he says, listen, inna li rabbika alayka haqq. No doubt that your Rabb and your deen has a right upon you. Wali nafsika alayka haqq. And your body has a right upon you. Wali zawjika alayka haqq. And your wife has a right upon you. فَأَعْطِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّ. So make sure in all aspects of your life, you give the due right to the person who you owe it to. And this is a lesson which every single one of us can take. On another occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addresses Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As and he says, أَلَمْ أُخْبَرْ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ اللَّيْلُ وَتَسُومُ الدَّهْرِ. I have been informed that every single day you are fasting and every single night you have engaged entire night in salah. بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Yes, O Nabi of Allah, this is true what you have heard about me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَلَا تَفْعَلْ. Do not do this. قُمْ وَنَمْ. A certain part of your night you read salah. A certain part of your night you rest. وَصُمْ. And a few days in the week you fast. وَأَفْتِرْ. And certain days of the week you do not fast. So the idea behind the teachings, behind the ibadah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that there has to be a balance. Respected friends and elders, unfortunately, the balance which we have missed and which we fall short of in some is the idea of fulfilling the rights of others. Is the idea of fulfilling the rights of others. Yes, some of us may be performing all our salah in the masjid, giving our zakah on time, performing extra sadaqat, etc. But unfortunately, and you speak to our ulama, you speak to the ulama in the Darul Ifta, and in the organizations, and in the arbitration groups, and they say, listen, the man is doing his ibadah, he's going for hajj, he's going for umrah, but he's not fulfilling the rights of his family. He has usurped the rights of somebody. He has taken away the haqq of somebody. Unfortunately, respected friends, this is the reality. This is what the ulama are facing on a daily basis. Mother and father, there has been a separation, so there's an issue. Or the children, they are claiming the rights from their parents. Parents are claiming the rights from the children. And the list goes on and on and on. And you ask this ulama, how do you deal with? One alim mentioned, he says, on my desk, I have an entire stack of papers just to deal with these rights. Just to deal, one by one, we have to go through it. And it takes months and months. What is the message, respected friends and elders? The balance has to be created between the hukuk of Allah and the hukuk of ibad. In fact, ulama explained that sometimes, to usurp the rights of others is even more dangerous than not fulfilling your duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? We all know Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. On the day of Qiyamah, we can come with some excuse in front of Allah. But in terms of the rights which we owe to others, until that person does not forgive us, or until we do not pay him back his due, we will not be forgiven. We will not be forgiven. Respected friends and elders, and what is even worse for us, what is even scary for us, sometimes we have become the zalim. Sometimes we have usurped the rights of others, and the other person is the mazloom. Once a person becomes mazloom, لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ, then whatever dua he makes, it is going directly to Allah. In one narration which appears in Sahih Muslim, Bukhari and others, one sahabi by the name of Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's appointed as the leader of Kufa. And Umar radiallahu anhu was Amir al-Mu'mineen at that time. And some complaints had reached Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar that, listen, Sa'd is not fulfilling his duties properly. But this was a completely false accusation. People were just after him. And Sa'd at that point, radiallahu ta'ala, he was madhloom. Anyway, long story short, he comes to a stage when when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and few of the tabi'un, they gather in the masjid. And now the address is made, whoever has any issue with Sa'd, speak up now. Generally the idea was that nobody had any issue. One person, he stood up unjustly. And just to cause fitna, just to cause an issue. And at this point, remember, Sa'd is mazloom. He stood up and he made some accusations against Sa'd radiallahu anhu, and he continued and continued. Sa'd radiallahu anhu kept quiet. Eventually, he said, Allahumma in kana hadha al-abdu kathiban. O Allah, if this servant of you is a liar, qama riya'an wa sum'atan, he's just standing up just to make a show. Just to make a show of things. Just to speak about it. And unfortunately, respected friends, how many of us are guilty of this? We just speak about people's izzah. We speak about people like this and like that without verifying, without talking about it. Even if it is true. Even if it is true. What is our position? Who we are? What right do we have to speak about the izzah of others? So Sa'd radiallahu anhu says, Allahumma in kana abduka hadha kadiban fa'atil umrah. First bad dua he made. Oh Allah, give him a very long life. وَأَطِلْ فَقْرَ And may give him such a life where he will only experience poverty. وَعَرِّضْهُ لِلْفِتَنْ And test him in the worst of ways. The narrators of this riwayat mention that they used to see the same man walking around the streets. And when they used to ask him, what happened to you? He says, أَصَابَتْنِي دَعْوَةُ سَعْد The bad dua that Sa'd made, it afflicted me. And they said, what was his condition? He became so old that his eyebrows fell below his eyes. And he was in extreme poverty. And he says, he used to stand on the side of the road. And in a very, very debased manner, he used to interfere with the women that are walking past. This is because of what? أَصَابَتْنِي دَعْوَةُ سَعْدٍ One bad dua afflicted him. One bad dua afflicted him, respected friends and elders. How many times we do not know that the person we are dealing with in our transaction, we think we are right, we think we have the upper hand, we think we are going to court and winning the case, but that person is madhloom. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ Nothing between him and Allah. Respected friends, in the last few minutes, we'll just discuss one hadith which appears in Muslim, Sahih Muslim. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he makes mention, he says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He addressed them, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْمُفْلِسِ Do you know what is a pauper? Do you know what is a bankrupt person? Do you know what is a person who has nothing to his name? Sahaba radiallahu anhum, like how we will reply, he has no gold, he has no silver, he has no rands, he has nothing. Sahaba said the same thing. مَلَّا دِرْهَمَ لَهُ وَلَا مَتَاعَ He has not one dirham to his name. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي Let me tell you what is a true bankrupt person. يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ He will come with on the day of Qiyamah. بِصَلَاةٍ With enough salah. وَزَكَاةٍ And enough zakah, wasiyamin, and enough fasting. Wayati, and he will come in such a state. Shatama hada, he spoke ill about a person. Wadaraba hada, and he has abused a person. Waqadafa hada, and he has passed false judgments against people. Waakala mala hada, and he has usurped the wealth of others. Wadaraba hada, wasafaka dama hada. He has done all these things. Who is it? A person who came with salah, with zakah. والصيام. And he came with fasting. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَيُعْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِ All those people that he usurped his rights from. And all those people that were madhloom as a result of his action, they will be brought forth. And all his years of tahajjud, his years of zakah, his years of fasting will be sent directly into their bank accounts, into their book of deeds. And it will continue and continue until everybody gets their right. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and it's even worse, فَإِذَا فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُ When all his good deeds are finished, and his debts is still owed upon the others, He still has rights which he has from Jews, Jew upon others. What will happen? يُؤْخَذُ مِنْ خَطِيئَاتِهِمْ. Then all the evil deeds will be flung upon him. All the evil deeds will be flung upon him. Why? Because he did not save himself from ظُلَم. فَطُرِحَتْ فِي النَّارِ. Then he will be cast into the fire of Jahannam. Respected friends and elders, how many times do we hear the same complaints about the ummah, about the Muslim community? People say these things, that the worst person, na'udhu billah, is to work for a Muslim. He'll tell you that it's 5 o'clock, it's time to go home, but he'll send you home 8 o'clock in the evening. He won't pay you on time. He'll underpay you. He'll make you work overtime, but he won't give you your due. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life and his method and his manner was completely contrary to this. It was completely contrary to this. Respected friends and elders, let us make that intention that whomsoever I owe any right, I will make an effort to fulfill it. Whomsoever I owe any money, I will sort it out. Unnecessarily, sometimes, respected friends and elders, we keep debts. Why? Because we can. Because it's only due then. No, he doesn't need the money. He's rich. We say these things. And if you ask the Muslim businessman, they will tell you this is exactly what is happening. This is exactly what is happening. Na'udhu billah, people say that we rather deal with non-Muslims. Is this the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is this the manner of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing business? On one occasion, the narration mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the marketplace. He goes to buy an item. He says, zin wa arjih. Zin wa arjih. Listen, weigh the item. And he's telling his companion, give them more than what he deserves. Give him more than what he deserves. Our ulama and our ustaz mentioned, when have we ever made amal on this? When did we go to the shop and we say, listen, this bread is 15 rand, 20 rand, take some extra. We know the shopkeeper is difficult, sometimes times are tough. Na'udhu billah, sometimes it's the opposite situation. The man is standing on the side of the road, he's selling some oranges, some apples, something that he just needs to pass, to earn a living. And we roll down our electric windows. And now we address him, how much is this 20 rand? I'll give you 10 rand. I'll give you 10 rand. I'll give you 15 rand. Are we bargaining with a man who doesn't have enough bread in his home? Are we bargaining with a man who has nothing? You can see his situation, he got torn and tattered clothes. Respected friends and elders, it is time for us as an ummah to wake up. Woman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, and over the last 2 years, respected friends, we have felt Allah's punishment in some way or another. Businesses have closed down, looting, floods. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ. We will give you them a taste of a smaller punishment before the eventual punishment does come. Before that time, respected friends, let us turn to Allah in tawbah. Let us fulfill the rights of others. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah says that when a person is making tawbah, apart from all the other conditions of tawbah, is that if he owes someone something, he must make sure to fulfill it. That is the condition of tawbah. Respected friends and elders, unfortunately, if the mazloom and the people raise their hand, and now the curse of Allah is upon you, and the curse of one, the mazloom, is upon you, respected friends, may Allah save us. And the very, very famous qa'idah of deen, al-azabu idha halla amma. When the azab comes, then it does not distinguish between pious and non-pious. It afflicts everybody. So it mustn't be that we are the sabab, and we are the reason for our entire community going through difficulty. Respected friends and elders, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, that we fulfill the huquq of Allah in His position. And we fulfill the rights of people in His position. And that when we come on the day of Qiyamah, we have a clean slate. We have a clean slate. In other words, there must not be any person that now comes to claim from us of our good deeds. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.